Yo, 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 this is Steve with another episode of the Stucky in Augmented Reality podcast. Well, this is Damian McDuffie. He's another guy from the Bay Area. So it's really good to see that like the Bay is repping in the XR industry. I think it was a good conversation about just, you know, the realities of being Black and navigating these technological worlds. And from there, seeing what we can do to have an impact on the people around us. And so it was a good conversation. Hopefully you all enjoy it. And from there, you know, again, let's try to get more Black people into AR and VR and XR and having these conversations and you know, lifting the hood from a lot of these technologies and products to show that we can all do this stuff together if each one teaches one, you know? And so with that, let's go and get started with the podcast.
So cool. We got another episode of the podcast. I think it's funny that I just sort of started a podcast just to talk to people, especially this one, because this is technically a rebrand of a podcast. So but this is the Stucky in Augmented Reality. And all I did with this is I was like, oh snap, I'm getting into AR, and there ain't no AR podcast, and there ain't no podcast in AR with Black people. So I was like, I'm gonna just add in augmented reality in the beginning of my podcast as a rebrand, and now this is one of the top AR podcasts out there, because there ain't none,
and
there ain't none. You know,
it works, right?
You know, and Blackness at the forefront. It's necessary. But welcome again. This is Steven with another episode. And today I have Damian McDuffie, you know, another Bay Destrian out here, you know, moving and shaking. I got connected with him through the homie Estella, who like connected me with everybody that like I know in like the XR space. And come to find out, you know, there was somebody, you know, on the, you know, right next to, you know, in Oakland that was also doing some stuff that ended up being on the whole like Unity for Humanity summit too.
It was collecting us.
Yeah, right. Like it was just like, hey. And so it's all good to tap in with you. You know, how's everything been?
Everything is good right now. Like it's really been just what you described, kind of like being connected and talking to creatives around like this new space, and a lot of enthusiasm around XR, around AR in particular. And I think, you know, I got connected with Estella and you through another friend, a photographer, Anthony. And what I'm starting to feel is like, you know, now when anybody who knows me and that have been in kind of my orbitly either read something on XR, VR, or anything like that, or have any kind of connection, I'm like the first person that they think of to kind of connect. And it's pretty amazing considering like 2 years ago, I wasn't really fucking with it.
Right. Look, right? You've been in it longer than I have. Look, at December 19th is when I first opened up Unity. So it's like, I still feel like the new kid on the block right now.
Well, it's crazy. My birthday's on Friday.
Oh, dang.
Last year, the whole year before, I was able to travel to all of these different countries that have like really, you know, thorough XR experience museums and things like that. So like in Tokyo, they have this Team Labs Borderless. It's a total immersive, light, all of those kind of things, kind of immersive, a museum that was just, there were just a lot of people into it. And then I went to Taiwan and it was a completely different experience, more about illusions and all that, but it was like, you know, pretty thorough. And I had the goal of last year to just like create an app on Unity, like to get something that actually works, that I can pull up a camera, look through something, and something else happens. Not even like something amazing, just kind of like get the functionality about it. Cause I think I was real fortunate growing up in West Oakland and like having the kind of teachers that I have. Like I remember one of my like preschool teachers used to always tell me, her name's Miss Great. Isn't that a great name? Her name is Miss Great.
Yeah, you can't have a greater name than Miss Great.
She would always say like, you can, she would always tell me like, she really believed that I could learn anything if I really focused. So she knew when I was like, not really trying. So she just, you know, not hit me, but you know, talk me in a certain way. But yeah, it was another situation like that with Unity. I don't know what it was for you. Just, I don't know nothing about this, but I know that there's a way for, there's an end product and there's a way to get it right. So as long as I just keep trying at it, you know, I can figure something out. And that's, I kind of came at it with like a preschool mentality. And it's like, really? That's probably the mentality that you need for this.
Yeah. Like, no lie, like, so I, did you remember when like the Masters of the Sun thing dropped?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so like literally my first sort of like it being on the radar for me was when Will.i.am went on to the Breakfast Club like maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, I got this new graphic novel with Marvel. And this is around the time where I was like, you know, big into like making comics and all that. I still am. Yeah. But like I was like rooted in it. I was in like a comic studies program, all that stuff. And so then at the end of it, he was like, hey, and I got this thing, I got this app to where the you know the stories and the characters pop off the page. Yeah. And so I was like, what? Like this is crazy. Cause like in the back of my mind, I was like, I feel like I'm an animator, mm-hmm. but like the opportunities for animators, independent animators, is very slim. Like you either getting TV shows or you getting, you know, Instagram, you know, stuff, right? Like, like there ain't no in between. And so I was like, oh snap, I've been trying to find a way to like integrate my comics with animation because they're all same tools. And so I saw that he was like, this is this AR app and you could get it, blah, blah, I bought it. The app didn't come out till like 2 years after the book came out. So I never got to experience. I just saw that, watched the YouTube videos, and then I went to Adobe Max 2019, and that was a big AR thing with the Adobe Aero. And then I ended up just meeting one person after another, and come to find out, one of the paper producers that I buy paper off of Amazon, they had a booth there, and they had an AR children's book that did exactly what I was trying to do. Mm-hmm. So they were like, just download this app, you could have the book for free and experience it. Let us know what you like, let us know what you think, and you can hit us up if you have any questions about it. And so I hit them up, they gave me some resources, and then one of the things they said is, if you want to build your own app and build this whole thing, look up Vuforia and Unity.
Yeah.
And I did that. This was around the time of it was like December. It was literally like mid-December. So this was around the time that like Udemy had those like, you know, sales for like $10 courses.
Yeah, yeah.
I just typed in Unity and Vuforia, you know, found a course for like $12 and spent like the next month just like trying to figure it out. And so that was it for me, you know, like
the rest. That's what I'm just trying to, you know, grow into an evangelizer, like, you know, like the great thing about AR is that it's our mixed reality is that it's magic. That mm-hmm. is also a great thing about it is that it's just math, really.
Yeah.
Functionality, right? And tools, right? So, you know, there are going to be two different people who are going to take the same tool and think about it in a different way. It's like, oh, they just want to stay in the wonder of it. And other people want to get into the, like, you know, okay, I see this. I see something that's impossible. So I need to know how it actually works. And I got my cue from my nephew. My nephew, he's like 19. And he's always telling me, he's like, you know, every time I ask him how he learned something, he just say, YouTube?
YouTube University.
And I was just like, okay. So I was like, let me, the thing is, you know, you have to find your teacher, you know, you have to find like the right person that you can tolerate hearing that also can tell the kind of stories that allows you to learn. So there's like some sifting through, okay, there's some stuff that's like very, very clear, but it's just kind of like boring, or it's just, you know, no, you're not looking at anything. And then there's other things that, okay, it's going to be a step by step, but it's, he knows what he's doing. So it's not going to, you know, meander a little bit too much, or she knows what they're doing, or they know what they're doing. So it's like, once you find somebody, you can, okay, I can rock with this person. Hopefully they have a couple other things going on that you've established, okay, they're trustworthy in a certain way. And I remember finding, I don't even remember the name, but it was just like a Vuforia Unity kind of tutorial. The dude, I think it was from like Australia or something like that. and he was, you know, it was like turning a King of Diamonds or King of Hearts.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You know,
exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
And where I just remember
the thumbnail is him like holding up one of them cards, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like maybe for like 2 months going up to that, I watched the video. Maybe I just watched it a lot, like over and over. And just to, you know, after a while, because you get certain, what I do is what I read. When I read and I hear, or I read a word that I don't understand, or I don't understand the context, I like immediately try to look it up just so I can, okay, now I know exactly what they're saying, not kind of an idea. So they'll make a reference into, you know, an image target or an asset or a 3D object or whatever that is. And then I just take that information, isolate it over here, and just use my history as a researcher and historian and all that. Learn as much as I know, and then I can come back, rewatch it, and now when he says it, I understand what he's saying the first time he says it. So it's like teaching yourself how to learn. I mean, you know, learning in the way that you know you learn best.
And yeah.
Exploiting that. If you could, rewind your teacher, how much more would you know? And I'm not putting that out there because I don't want that to happen.
But like, really, you know, like if you're able to redo something or rehear something, like you'll be able to remember it more. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just that's something that like people are starting to appreciate more with like, you know, COVID and like asynchronous stuff and online classes. It's like, if you accidentally yawned and you missed something that the teacher said, mm-hmm. you could pause it, rewind it, and go back to it, right? You could slow it down half that time.
Mm-hmm. If you can see it happening, that's one of the things. Yeah. I just like seeing the visual of somebody doing something that you're about to do. I said, learning, you know, you learn a lot more, you absorb it a little bit.
It's a game changer in many ways, right? Because like, even today, like I think that like the reason like things really like picked up for me in that space trying to learn it is because I wasn't trying to learn the code part, right? I was just trying to figure out how to use animation. Like I already have animation. I've been animating for years, right? So I could just got a whole bunch of stuff that like I would just make as like a little Instagram clip or YouTube clip. And so I've been just trying to find a way to just like utilize that stuff with some basic image tracking, do the Vuforia thing, and then let me click a few buttons and then play the animation. Like that.
Just have like some kind of interaction, some kind of effect.
Yeah. You know? Like it was super basic. Like I think the farthest I would go is, you know, like Mixamo, right? Like,
no, I don't.
You don't know Mixamo? Dude. So Mixamo is like this library that Adobe sort of acquired, mm-hmm. like it's a 3D library of animation, that you just log on to it. You can upload a character; it'll auto rig it, and then you can just add animations to it. Then you could export it out for Unity as like FBXs.
Is it different? It's different than Sketchfab in the way, like in terms of like you can animate it in the way that you want. You can, you know, puppet it.
They have pre like baked animation, and so like you sort of say like you type in the search editor, it's like, oh yeah, I want a walk sequence. Yeah. You could find a whole bunch of different walk sequences. You could say like, oh, I want a hip hop dance, or like a ballet dance, or you want a head spin or something. Like you can type that in, and then like it'll have that it'll have that like clip that you could choose. And so, and so if you're familiar with like kit bashing, like kit bashing is that it's essentially like what you can do to like kit bash some like animated sequences. And so
I was
like, okay, I got me some 3D models. I get some stuff off of Mixamo, connect those to some buttons. You know, you press the button and they play the animation. And I was like, bam, I got an AR experience right here. You know, and I built it out around it. That's it, right? It's like a year into it, right? Like now I'm like, okay, maybe I should learn some like C sharp, you know, so that I can, you know, do like push like what the tools can do.
And see what you can actually, I mean, cause it's all about the customization. And I didn't know a lot about like C sharp and Unity and all of that. And now you kind of sparked in my mind. I just remember going, I was in, what is his name? Idris Sandu. Idris Sandu, the guy who used to do a lot of the tech stuff for Nipsey Hussle.
I remember
being on his Instagram page and really like not even stalking what he was doing, but like the conversations that were happening in the thread and just people just talking about, okay, C sharp and talking about all of these different things. So that's where like it sparked. It was like, okay, there's different languages. And I, as you know, I know the value of like data science and all of that, but I never saw an entryway for me to be motivated enough to kind of go after it.
Yeah.
And once I was able to bring the creativity in, then it was like, oh, okay, now that I should probably be, I'm looking into even just getting more of my skills up. And that actually, that helped a lot with some of my development, just trying to build a AR platform for Black art and the Black cultural archives. So like really figuring out ways to use all of our archives and use photos and family heirlooms and things like that to add value to them and add different AR experiences to them in different ways. One of the main things was really about like how do you AR allows you to bring some of these like real valuable things like archives and papers that are, you know, precious and all of that without having to kind of really handle them. And you can add some production behind it. You can do all these other things with it. And now like, okay, having a photo of my great, great grandmother and having like a scan of a marriage license that goes along with that, or like a birth certificate and some audio from grandma and talking about it. There's so much that can, you know, now come to life because now you have this new kind of way of communication and it's new. So whatever I do is right now.
Yeah. Right. Like it's a trendsetter instantly.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the thing that is really, that I've really appreciated about being in the space from a cultural standpoint, right? Because like, you know, we both grew up around sort of that Silicon Valley boom, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was in like Sacramento and Richmond and you over in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, like I remember when, you know, Facebook was sort of like a blip that like people kind of knew about, but like nobody really messed with.
Outside of,
it's like if you knew somebody at Berkeley, then like they probably had a Facebook account or something like that. But then out of nowhere, like just things just started popping. And what that meant, at least for me, is that like all my family that was in, you know, closer to El Cerrito and over near, you know, Jack London Square and all those freaking places, they were moving to freaking Vacaville and they were moving to freaking Antioch, right? Pittsburgh, like they was getting pushed out and stuff. And so for me, I was like, okay, well, the way tech impacted me, I didn't really get the internet until I got to college. So like the way tech really impacted me is that like I had to travel a lot further to like visit my family, like people were just getting pushed out. And so for me, like culturally, like seeing all this stuff, it's like, yes, like we're sort of, because of COVID and everything, like we sort of have a good footing as long as we got a computer, right? And then it's just really just exploring the tools and seeing what you could just come up with first. and having that set the precedent, and with it, it's like AR is truly just like transmedia. Like you could add pictures, you could add animation, sound, you know, like all types of stuff to it, to where, you know, like having access for Black creators like in this space, it's like once you get over the fact that like you may have to code something, you know, like once you get over that fact, like it's like there's so much stuff that you can do with it. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, that was one of the things that kind of got me in the impetus of wanting to create a platform, to make the creation of AR experiences easier for Black people in particular. But because I was able to do, you know, have these experiences and bring people into using AR that would not have really kind of even messed with it or, you know, glanced at it. And it was, you know, I'm the archivist with the Dr. Huey P. Newton Foundation. So part of my role is figuring out creative ways to get all of these archives out so people can see them while not always just being on the internet and things like that. So, you know, we did a pop-up exhibition for a memorial with for Dr. Huey, Dr. Newton. And it was in my neighborhood in West Oakland. And, you know, we had people from 5 all the way up to like 75, 80 elders and things like that, interested in wanting to have the experience because of what the content was. So it was like, you know, this is about him. So now you have this experience. You can see a video, some audio, have some animations that I just kind of got into just to kind of create things that started to turn out to look pretty good. And I was like, you know, this, if it's Arrow or if it's even these other companies that are coming out of Eastern Europe and all of that, there's no way these people who are here would even access this, like, this app without me shepherding it. So it's like, I'm really into the, you know, the idea of like not bringing, you know, Black audiences to, you know, people who don't really, who won't really even like outreach in any kind of way. And that's, and it's a role that I've been playing in certain ways. And it's like, okay, now if we get, if I can, you know, I can, it'll take some time, but I can get some people around this to kind of like build something. And now we can do this in our neighborhoods and not, you know, I don't know. It just needs to be, I like the idea of controlling the technology, and not just being the content creator, because that's what I want to do. I want to create the content, but I want to make sure that at least one, whoever I'm creating for, at least is going to be some Black, you know, tech platform. And if it's not there, then I'm going to try to do something with that, you know?
Yeah, I think to that point, right? Like, and this is one of the things that I think sort of like over the summertime, I think I went under the radar for like, I was just sort of a nobody. I was just doing stuff, right? But there was a moment that like things sort of changed and it was because when like all the whole Black Lives Matter stuff started happening and all that, the thing that I started noticing is that if you're in like the game industry and if you're in sort of like the tech industry, like no one was saying nothing. It was like out of sight, out of mind. And so like for me, it's like, yeah, you know, you could post a picture and you could do a hashtag or whatever. And that doesn't really go very far. But if you don't do nothing and you just act like it's all freaking peachy and rainbows, then like I got a problem with that. Cause that speaks to sort of the acknowledgement or the lack of acknowledgement and inclusion that like we're all sort of seeing right now, where, you know, people are just now getting, you know, Black people and stuff are just now getting into animation and it's more accessible. But I don't know anybody that's a Black game developer, you know, right? Like and for good reason, right? Like you got to know so many things to even like, you know, to even like be able to like navigate the software.
Well, I mean, and I think that's part of it. And I can appreciate it because I come from a background of like journalism and like creative nonfiction. So creating, like writing those stories, And in that, you know, it's about 3% Black. And if you're talking about Black males in, like, you know, in that MFA kind of crowd or whatever, it's very slim. And it's the same thing when you cross over to animation. One of my favorite animators is one of my friends, Matthew Bordenave. And he does a lot of stuff for, like, Young Justice and WB and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we would always talk about how it's, you know, our school went to Loyola Marymount, 6% Black, and these different little kind of cadres in the industry and in school, is not many of us there. And that's what I was over here trying to look for specifically a Black Unity developer, you know, and it's hard to find somebody that's not hella in demand because of,
because
of that. But it's like, can I afford you too? And do you have time for me mostly? And then also that have like all the skill sets and experience to be able to do the one thing. So it's
tough because I'm instantly thinking like, dang, you know, I'm a Black Unity developer. Mm-hmm. And I ain't got no time. I barely got time to do my own stuff. That's what a disparity looks like, right? Like you get one, two, three people that do this. They're sort of the face of it, but then there ain't nobody coming after. Mm-hmm. And so
you hire one at a time,
right? And so then there's that responsibility that like you also have to do of like, not only am I trying to like, you know, pursue a career, but I also have to take on this sort of like role as an educator and a mentor to like make sure that like, God forbid something happens to me and then that's it.
No more. No.
You know?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. I think I was kind of really ignorant coming into the space because, you know, I'm in Oakland and there's a few folks, especially Black folks, who are kind of in the XR community who've been like been able to put me onto game. Like my friend Kai, she has a
Kai, exactly.
So, you know, I went from asking her maybe like 2 years ago, so what is AR, what is all this, to I guess where I am now. And my main goal was really to understand enough to know how to ask the right questions and to get what I needed to get. So it wasn't enough to just kind of, I spent a phase just creating, you know, AR experiences and, you know, activating 2D targets and all that, and then started scanning some stuff, doing 3D stuff. But it's all kind of a progression after a little bit of time of, okay, now I have enough bandwidth, I have the vocabulary, and I understand what I need to ask to be able to get what I want. And that takes some time. Like that knowledge appreciates more and more and more because everything that you're doing, you can also pass it along. Cause it's not that many of us, you know, it's one of the crazy things is just being in this space is getting people who from my neighborhood who are coming up with some very legitimate ideas and use cases for AR that I haven't even thought of. And they coming to me is like, okay, do this for me, which would be good. But I'm like, bro, that's a whole business by itself. So it was like, if you want to do that, then it's like, I can aid you in helping you actually do that piece. But you got to learn, you just got to learn all of you're learning the industry. And then, you know the difference between A&R and, you know, management and the label, all that kind of stuff. And that's what I'm trying to get with like these Niantics and Unities and
I think for me, I got into, kid you not, right? Like my only goal for 2020 was because I sort of was part of that whole like YouTube University sort of camp trying to like learn like AR from like some stuff on Udemy, but then just like a whole bunch of stuff that people made back in like 2016, you know, with AR and Unity. Like my only goal was, I was like, there ain't no Black people here, like in nothing. Like there ain't no black people. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'ma just be the black, I'll just be the black guy on YouTube that just makes AR stuff.
Yeah.
I ain't doing, that's what nope, I like I ain't doing anything special. I'ma do the same stuff that they doing on these videos, mm-hmm. but I'm a black person. So at least because by nature
I was looking for black people. Like that's the first thing I'm looking for. Like you want to be able to know what you're getting.
Yeah, right. Like you there's an understanding, right? Like, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and try to, you know, do some like freaking pseudo Steve Jobs stuff where it's like, oh yeah, do this Apple thing because Apple is amazing. Like, right. I'm gonna be like, okay, this is what we're into. This is what I think it would be cool to be out there. And I'm gonna do that in AR because I think AR is sort of one is the future, but two, AR, you're able to, you don't have to compromise so many, right. Like you don't have to compromise with your projects, right?
And people don't know shit about it too.
Yeah, and people just don't know nothing about it. Like, and so what I learned, what the beauty that I had before the pandemic, right, is I released my app. And then I used to do like, what was it? Last Thursdays in Oakland. So I used mm-hmm. to do that. So when I got up to Portland,
like First Fridays?
Yeah, yeah. I used to do First Friday. Okay. So I had like my little booth. Yeah. I had like a tent and stuff when it started getting windy, and I would just be out there, you know. So I was out there before I moved.
Like right in front of my house.
So I was out there, and so they have these like little you know pop up sort of marketplaces in Portland because Portland has like a very small like black community of like you know business owners and you know entrepreneurs, and so I released my first app. And then I went out there and I just had it set up, right? I just had like the main camera. He was, you know, doing some animation and stuff. I got like a little iPhone that I had set up. And so if you got the book, it you could download the app and you could play around with the character, have him do dances.
But before so just, you downloaded it, you can check it out and see.
Yeah, yeah. So it was literally just like a little installation, like a little mini installation that I had just on like one of my booths. And people would walk by it and then they would look at the screen and they would like, that thing is moving, and then
so you just had it set up so you could as they walk by you can see.
Yeah, yep, just had it set up just like that, and so from there, just like such a visceral response, just from like that, just being out there, and that just having just a black kid on their screen just doing this, like it was crazy, and so from there I was like, I think there's something here because like this is like. Because I like the stuff I found on YouTube, I thought it was like that was back in like 2016, 2017. So I was like, dang, I missed the boat. Like I'm late to the party. Little did I know that like there ain't no black people in the space, or I ain't late to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, even already, there's not that many people in the space.
Yeah.
So it's like you realize you're a unicorn of a unicorn already in tech space in the first place. So I'm all about kind of cultivating and kind of, blossoming that. And I've been so blessed to be able to connect with, like, you know, there's a few people, my homie Calvin, who really introduced me to this style of AR through Artivine. He has this thing called Wakanda Dream Lab. So he does, it's like a AR kind of production where they create different experiences and do a little bit more storytelling. And what I love about it is the AR experiences are really reflective of the people and the person behind it. So like, you know, the way, you know, you're doing your AR experiences with 3D, with a lot of animation, kind of a lot of your particular branding that really fits you. With Calvin, he's telling stories, you know, a lot of Afrofuturistic kind of stories as well. And that's kind of how he's been kind of entered into it. And for me, I'm an archivist by trade and, you know, a historian and a lover of Oakland and like a historian in my family. So my immediate thought was, oh, I spent 10 years researching my family's history and I have like archives and I have all this stuff. And I've never thought about a cool way to introduce this to my nieces and my nephews and my little cousins. And now I know the work. I literally did one for my grandma for her birthday, a little photo that I did yesterday. And my little niece was just there with her, with my iPad, just listening to this story of, you know, some oral history from the past. And because of what it was, whether or not she was into it or not, she listened to it all the way through. And it was like 6 minutes. And that was like, I was like, okay, you go.
Yeah. Like, it's immersion, right? Like, it's, I think
headphones.
Like, literally, it's like you get a pair of headphones and a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And that changes the game for you. Like,
that changes the game, right?
And the crazy part about it, like, and I don't know if it's for you with like Unity and stuff, but like Unity has like freaking 80% of the market. Right? Like they,
I mean, I email them like as much as I can, bro, just to make sure they get my name just in their home.
Yeah. Like they it is what it is, right? Like they're like Microsoft, but like if Microsoft didn't have no competitors, right? Like, and so, you know, just the fact that like Unity is available and you could just make an app that you have full control over and you could put that out and you could control it. It's, and you could connect so many different dots, right? Like so much oral history, so much visual art, so much of these different things.
Visual art is the way.
That felt like they were so disconnected before, right? Like the closest thing that I could think of that I could connect is like, you know, the how much we put on album covers for like art or like for you know, for music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have an album cover and it's sort of like the face of like that sound, but like they're never sort of integrated like completely.
Mm-hmm.
And with AR, you literally have that, and it literally contains, you know, the information to, you know, to this whole experience. That's why I was like, man, you know, this is for us, for people that like love that like tangible nature of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like AR is like, you know,
because it's everything, because everything is digital too. And like, you know, I keep saying the archives, like the analog being able, what got me is like, okay, you can put this on any surface that you want to, and you can make it do what you want, and you can have it interact. It's like, oh, now analog is back, you know. I mean, it's not really left. It's like it makes news, like paper newspaper, a lot more valuable.
Yep.
It can make, you know, an album cover or vinyl, which more people are buying now.
Yeah.
They have a
big resurgence of vinyl.
Yeah. So like, and that's, you know, that's a space I'm trying to get into in some kind of way. But I need to talk to you about something off. think about it, but like all of these things, like for me, cards, pictures, things that, you know, Black people have, it's a way for us to add value to it without it, you know, becoming currency for somebody else. So like with music, you go through this label system and you give it away to these people without certain royalties or without publishing and all of that. And we've seen it in every industry in different ways. So now it's like, okay, this is so new that you can apply the same thinking without, I don't think other people are thinking in the same way around it. That's why the NFT stuff is still like so confusing to people.
You know. Even though like the whole NFT thing is like, as a freelancer, all the projects that I've worked on, digital.
Mm-hmm.
All those things have project files. Mm-hmm. If I would have lost that project file, I would have lost so much money.
Right.
You know? Like literally NFTs create a marketplace for you to have project files and you could sell those project files on a market and actually get the value of what those things are worth. And for people that are outside of it, they're like, oh yeah, you're just selling a JPEG, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you don't understand, like, all these things are literally just files that like we, like all these things are just files.
Everything.
Like everything.
I mean, and then also it's the work, because the work that you put into kind of like creating this product, it's like, you know, it takes so much to put in to create the product. And I think what people don't understand is sometimes when you're like, even if you're like for hire or contracted, sometimes you're selling people, like you're selling people the license to use it in a certain way versus selling them the rights to it. It's like, okay. And sometimes those distinctions are made or people don't understand that. So, you know, this thing's not necessarily just, it's not worth $400. It's actually worth that times five over a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So are you buying it at that rate or are you just buying it just to use it?
Yeah, it's because for the most part, I mean, you know, you could get the project file, but like most people, they're just going to take the product, you know, the export of it and they'll use that, but they're not going to tweak it. They're not going to customize it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like for somebody that would customize it, you know, it would have more value to somebody that would do that, or just anybody that wants to replicate something. Like it's, you know, you sort of have the license to do that without the, and you just pay for the creativity, you know?
Well, I mean, have you been, even with like your like 3D objects and all that, have you been using like prefab things? Have you gotten into like working on sculpting? I see that stuff and it's like, oh my God, sculpting in real life is beyond me.
I got into ZBrush, and ZBrush is really interesting if you have a Cintiq. If you don't have a Cintiq, I don't know how anybody would mess with that program. Like, and even like I'm doing like very minimal stuff, because like most of the stuff, like mine is mostly like 2D frame by frame. And so I'd be sitting down and just be drawing frames after frames, right? And I think that is underutilized in like the XR space.
I think so too.
Like it's and like there's a big thing about like mobile XR where like file sizes are a big thing. And so if you have a huge file size for some 3D animation, like people won't even be able to like utilize it
or play around with it. They can't even open it, right?
Yeah, they can't even open it. You know, like God forbid you want to do something for like Spark AR or like Lens Studio, like you can't, like those file sizes are really small. Right. And so, you know, for me, it's like I'm good with, I'll get some PNG sequences, I'll animate some stuff, export it out as a transparent, and then I'll just sort of like tweak it, you know, tweak it in 3D space. So it sort of pops out, but it's still 2D, right? Like that's mainly what I do. And then I'm getting more into like 3D animation, but mainly like mocap stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
I think that's something that I think is very useful. Like just looking at like just even being able to do the motion capture, even if you're doing like direct kind of like video motion capture kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because then it's, you can take, you know, that first image that looks, that's a painting, but then you can do a little bit more with manipulating how people interact with it. Now you have like a concierge or like somebody who greets you or whatever it is you want to create.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, I think the landscape, I'm optimistic of, you know, the avenues for the XR space, just because of like where we're at with it right now, right? Like, you know, like mass adoption is going to be like years from now. And so the beauty is that like we get to sort of prep for that in a way, where it's like we know it's sort of happening or it's going to happen. We don't know how exactly, but we know something's going to happen.
Right.
And so for me, it's like, you know, I could sit here and say, okay, I'm gonna make a whole bunch of videos, be sort of put my face up there so that like people have a reference of like, oh yeah, Black people do this too.
Right.
And then
they know where to look.
And then just rinse and repeat. And then hopefully I come up with something that's engaging that will spark somebody's interest, you know, something that's culturally relevant so that people can see like, oh, okay, I could go get a computer science degree so I can make this thing opposed to just, you know, getting a computer science degree or picking between, you know, getting a degree in the arts versus getting a degree in the sciences, right? Like it's, you know, for me, I got an MFA. And I'm sitting here but I'm still sitting here coding.
Right.
Like,
that's exactly it.
And and having the peace of mind and liberty to know that like I'm doing this to improve my art, that to be able to just explore it from that lens is a, you know, I really appreciate that, you know, for being in like the AR space.
And that's my spark, no pun, like just even with like being able to, I'm a storyteller. I've been combining myself to writing because I do a lot of that, but that's what, you know, in the end, it's about storytelling. So, you know, I find myself doing more like some documentary type stuff than I find myself in these spaces. It just kind of opens up your storytelling. So if I've been doing interviews, I've been doing oral histories before I even thought about XR. Now it's like, okay, now there's different, another platform or another way to now I can tell these stories and they're relevant and they're not just combined into, you know, over here. I think that's important.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so, I really appreciate you just taking the time to, hop on the podcast and chop it up a little bit. One of the questions is what are the projects that you're working on right now? Because I know I remember, you were at the Unity for Humanities thing, mm-hmm. And then you just did the thing with did something with KaiXR.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, you did that with them, and then you did the Dr. Newton thing. And so what stuff are you up to right now?
Well, so one of the, I've been reading a lot on one of Huey's essays, The Community Control of Modern Technology. And in it, he talks a lot about kind of like the importance of technological advances being in control of by the people. So being able to help themselves or being able to kind of make a difference. So in a world where there's, you could 3D print a house, what would happen if that kind of technology is put in the hands of homeless people? You know, the things that they're solving won't necessarily be the things that I saw or they saw or something like that. So that's the concept. And it's really interesting to look at it, especially because the Panthers come from Oakland. The way that they talked about everything was not always in that language of community control of technology. But if you look at a list of these programs that they put out, this was the result. So you don't get a free breakfast program without one, finding a space and owning a space where you can cook food for kids, where you can control what the food, how the food gets to you, what is cooked, how you relate it to the people. If they're doing like a free shoe program, they're not just giving free shoes to people, they're actually building a factory where you can create all of these things, create a revenue, and then also give it for free to people. So I love now reading a lot of stuff that I read in the past with this lens of like the community control of technology. And I think that's very, very important just because, Black people are the most creative people in the world. We also have things, technology done to us in a certain way. Yeah. And I always look at what would Twitter be without Black people? What would Snapchat be without
Black people? What would TikTok be without Black people?
Yeah, what would Instagram be without Black people? What would Clubhouse be without Black people? It would be nothing. And not to say that, it would be just a completely different entity.
Yeah.
It's just the same kind of story in every industry. It's like we come up with the creation, we learn how to tell the stories, we communicate we have emotional connections with audiences based on our history and based on our ability to tell stories. And then we rely on somebody above us to come and dictate how it can be told. And I'm trying to, anywhere we can, we have to kind of disrupt that. And it's not going to be just like we take over everything, but in a space like XR where people don't know what the fuck they're doing, and it's, everybody's like this.
It's like,
something's here, I don't know. And I think this is the place where it's like, okay, I gotta I can't jump back into another industry where I'm not doing something about that problem while I'm also creating. Like, I want to attract more Black creators to a somewhere where they can do what they've always done, make shit dope, and figure out how more people can benefit in a less traditional way. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hey, I mean, it's that's I think as a Black creator, that's sort of in a space where you're the only Black person, you're the darkest person in the room. Mm-hmm. You go, I'm not that dark, and I'd be the darkest person in the whole room. It feels weird, right? but like, I think it's that responsibility because we're so like community oriented, right? Like just culturally, like it's our duty to sort of, pave a way, or just build a legacy. I mean, I think that's it. It's just like, at the end of the day, like, we've had our legacies sort of stripped away from us, that like it's up to us to like build that legacy and then go back in the past and try to connect it back to the past. Mm-hmm. And so, I think it's just for us, this is part of it, mm-hmm. Like, if you get it, if you make it to the league, you got to go back and train the little kids that came under you, right?
Exactly.
And so it's part of that. And
they definitely want to know.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. And so, with that, as we wrap up, where can people find you?
Find me everywhere. Mostly, I'm chilling on Instagram these days at Black Terminus. Really, what we really focus on is like, the next month or two, really coming in with Juneteenth, having the platform really ready, and having some activations around, Oakland in particular. Hopefully, maybe we can come up to Portland, come up to a couple other places.
Yeah. Hey, Portland was like, Portland was ground center, ground zero at some point last year. So, it was going crazy.
And I was on my way up there, my dad's from Yakima.
Ah, yeah.
So, go up through there a little bit. So.
Yep. Okay. So, yep, definitely. We'll definitely put that in all the links in the bios and everything. Yeah, and
I got you. I
appreciate it. Oh, yeah, for sure. And so definitely appreciate the time. And, hopefully we could, hop on again and chat and kind of go from there.